The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this edition of this week's news and comic books. Well, in the news this week, John is nervous again. Nervous, irritated, whatever it is. We kind of butt heads a little bit, but we always enjoy that. There's some DC news, there's some Marvel news, there's some HBO news. Then we get into this week's comics, but this week's book club was a lot of fun. We had a pretty good discussion about like four books, and then we started talking about Excalibur. We just had a really good time this week. But like we usually do. Hopefully you guys enjoy it as much as we do. So let's get into the store.
Boo! Trick or treat, John!
Trick.
I don't like tricks.
Yeah, I threw you.
Yeah, you threw me. I was stumped. I wanted a treat.
Yeah.
That was,
we all want treats.
What's that?
I said we all want treats.
Exactly. Trick. Is that what you say to the kids when they come to the door?
Yep.
Trick.
Throws them off. They just walk away and I don't have to give any candy out.
Kids. I know you so well, I actually kind of believe that.
You believe that, yeah.
I can picture you doing that.
Oh. Trick, you little blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look at that. I didn't have to put in a sounder.
No, I did it myself.
There you go.
I don't want to work you too hard tonight.
How's your week going?
Pretty good so far.
You all set for Halloween?
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
You got all
anything,
your favorite
but,
candies ready for when the kids don't show up? You can send one for you,
I
one
do.
For
I actually, I've been looking at the weather hoping it would rain so I could keep my bag of candy.
Yeah, we have some bad weather planned up here. They're saying chance it might clear up just around that time.
Just in time.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I've got to get my favorite candy and just, oh, nobody showed up.
Well, see, that was the thing. Last year, it rained on Halloween and we had bought one of those Walmart, like, $30 bags of candy that, because it was our first Halloween here, so, like, we had no idea what to expect. So, I buy a huge bag, because I end up
taking
some of it.
That's a good neighborhood, though, no?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
A lot of kids?
But, again, we still don't really have a good feel for it, because last year it rained.
Right.
We had hardly any kids. So, I ended up having candy until,
this year.
Like, New Year's. Yeah, pretty much. So this year, we still don't know how many kids we're going to get because we don't have a good feel for it.
Right.
So we got a little bit smaller bag than we did last year. But yeah, we were eating candy for a long time last year. So
yeah, I'm sure you were complaining.
Yeah, no.
You find ways to get rid of it. You know, you can sprinkle it on ice cream. You
yep.
Take it to the
movies.
I
take half of it to the store and I put a bucket out on the counter for Halloween too, so.
Oh, that's cool.
But I'm almost afraid to do that in this day and age because, like, I'm afraid I might get sued by somebody because I gave their kid candy.
Right, yeah. So. Somebody chokes on a peanut or something.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. So. All right. What do we got? You got anything good for news? I know we got news.
News. I have a few things for news, but before we get to the news, I actually have a little bit of an announcement to make. And I'm gonna tell you what led up to this decision here in a second. So, the other day I was listening back to our episode on The Crow that we did on Monday. And I found myself listening to a conversation that I swear I never had while we were recording that conversation. So
I told you, you don't like to pay attention.
Yeah, so what that led me to believe is that I think now it's time for me to step away from the podcast because after 55 or so episodes, I think there's enough of me recorded at this point that I don't have to be present for any more conversations. Like, we could talk about any subject indefinitely.
Jen and I had that conversation.
And I don't have to even be involved. So I think this is going to be my last one. I'll make sure I leave a bunch of sound bites for you so you can just go to town. Listeners, don't worry, because I won't be anywhere. You're still going to hear me. Exactly. It's just not really going to be me. So, oh.
Jen and I actually had that conversation. I was like, I think I could pull that off some week next time. He's like, we lost a week this past year. I'm like, I think this year I could actually pull it off.
Right, like, you don't even need me. I was like, so.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, so
okay.
So anyway,
so you like that, huh?
Yeah, I did. Although, again, I take because I sounded kind of like an idiot because you were having this conversation and everything for me was just yep and uh-huh. So I really sounded kind of dumb because I wasn't really part of the conversation. I was just saying
you
yep
were there.
And uh-huh
you were there. So, you were there in spirit.
That's right. So, in any case, so there's a few things as far as the news goes this week. The first thing I saw early in the week, and I know you tweeted it out, looks like the Game of Thrones boys have dropped out of their Star Wars trilogy at the 11th hour.
That's pretty big.
It is big news because, you know, and I saw your tweet about not being worried, and, like, I'm not necessarily worried about Star Wars in general, but I am worried about their ability now to hit this release date, maybe, for this planned Star Wars movie.
That's true,
I would think that maybe that's going to change some things, and we may have to go a little bit longer without, you know, another Star Wars movie than we thought.
Didn't we? Because, I mean, we have the news Feige's coming in, right?
Well, we have the news Feige has an idea, but where that is in the plan, like,
right,
we don't know where he is in that plan.
But here's the thing is, do you think it's possible, and this is one of the reasons I said I'm not worried, behind the scenes, they knew months ago that they were going to step away, and Disney was like, look, before you step away, let us announce this part so that it doesn't look like we don't know what direction we're going in. And now, so they announced Feige first. Now we get this announcement. It's almost like everything is like now, you know, the prophecy is fulfilled. You know what? Do you see what I mean? Like,
I mean,
it softens
possible.
The blow.
I don't think it's anything as planned out as that, to be honest with you. But I mean, anything's possible. I just think that it probably delays us a little bit. Like, we don't know where Rian Johnson is as far as his trilogy being ready. But I know he's got other commitments, so right, whether he can shuffle things around or, hell, at this point, he may not even have written whatever he wants to write yet. We just don't know. Like, ultimately, Star Wars is going to be fine. It's just, like, it may change the schedule a little bit. But I'm a little bit disappointed, just in general, because I really thought that those guys might be able to do something.
Right.
You know, with their movie.
It would have been fun to get their take.
Right.
You know, that is the disappointing part. I mean, if they had announced, like, don't worry, we'll, you know, no delays, Feige stepping in, then that definitely would have played to the scenario I outlined. But
right,
obviously they haven't done that yet. But yeah, right. I mean, maybe there's a delay and, you know, we know from the tweet that we put, the picture you sent me and we put out today, that Star Wars can survive delays.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, it's not going anywhere. It's just, say what you want about Game of Thrones season 8. I know a lot of people are not happy with the way it turned out, but I mean, they gave us 7 great seasons of TV. They clearly, you know, can build a world and, you know, tell a good story. So
yeah.
I was interested to see what their take was going to be on the Star Wars universe. It doesn't seem like they've walked away with any
dragons.
Animosity because, yeah.
Lots of dragons.
Because Kathy Kennedy made the statement that, you know, if they wanted to come back to it at some point in the future, they'd be welcomed back. So it wasn't, you know, a bad split
right,
or anything like that. You know, the story is that, you know, they're too busy with their commitment to Netflix, who just gave them, like, you know, $250 million to do stuff for them. So I can see where, you know, Netflix doesn't want to wait 10 years for these guys to start doing stuff when they've
right,
given them all that money, which is what a trilogy is going to take. You know, it's going to tie them up for a long time. So I don't think they were able to do that. But Anyway, looks like we're getting a sequel to Lois and Clark, the famous Superman TV show from the 90s.
Yeah, well, we're getting another, Superman and Lois movie or show.
But again, seems like a direct sequel, really.
It does.
I know it's early, but if you look at any of the early speculation on what the show is going to be about, it's basically Lois and Clark with a baby. Looks like they're going to have John Kent involved. But I don't know. I think this is, I'm going to watch anything they do on the CW anyway, as long as it's not a spinoff to, Arrow. But
which is pretty much everything that's on the CW, John.
Well, all right.
Except for the next one.
I guess Green Arrow too. I'm not going to watch that. But I'm interested in seeing what they do with this. I like Tyler Hoechlin. I think that's how you say it. But, I like him as Superman. I liked Lois that they had. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. It's going to be really cool to have, at any given time we've had Superman shows on TV in the past, but we've never had a Supergirl show to tie in with it or anything like that. So it's kind of, we'll be interested to see what kind of crossovers we may get with that, especially knowing that at the end of January when Crisis is over, more than likely we're only going to have one Earth that we're dealing with in the Arrowverse.
So, right.
Everything is probably going to be all centered in the same place. So I think that's cool that they're doing that. And then really everything else I have revolves around HBO Max.
HBO Max. Like, I was going to say.
All the other news that came out this week really revolved around HBO Max, even to the point where HBO made this announcement that they were dropping their Game of Thrones sequel, or prequel rather. And then, a couple hours later, we get the announcement that HBO Max is going forward with a different prequel, but still, that's where I guess Game of Thrones is going to live on.
Right.
Is with HBO Max. And I don't want to go through everything that they announced because there was a bunch of stuff and most people have probably already seen it. A lot of DC content that they've announced that I'm pretty excited for, but I'm also pretty irritated about as well.
Why?
I'm really irritated about the amount of DC content that's going to be available on HBO Max, given that they've also made two statements in the last day and a half that DC Universe is not going away and that they're going to continue to both coexist together. That's irritating. Because why do I want to pay two different streaming services to watch all my DC content? Now I've got to bear two subscriptions to a streaming service that's called DC Universe.
Right.
And I'm going to have better DC content somewhere else.
Right.
So it's very frustrating and really irritating.
Well, I want to see how it plays
out. Disney Plus doesn't have, Marvel content, but yet develop 10 different Marvel shows for another streaming service called Disney +++ that I have to subscribe for.
They actually do. They have Hulu. And they're putting other Marvel content on Hulu that's like not suitable for families.
Right. So, but you're going to get that really as part of your package with
Disney it's still
Plus.
You still have to pay more. So what if HBO and Disney if HBO and DC Universe does the same thing as Hulu and, Disney Plus.
The difference is I can get a subscription to Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN for $2 cheaper than I can get just HBO Max, which is $14.99. And then I have to pay $7 or $8 a month for DC Universe. So,
but what do you get HBO with your HBO Max?
Unclear at this point. I'm not
100%
sure.
And that's what I'm saying. I understand your frustration, but let's see it all play out and see what the, because if the package includes HBO, well, then you're getting it, you're getting additional content for what you're already paying for HBO. And then, you already have DC Universe.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying too, but there's just gonna, again, we've been talking about it, ad nauseum over the last year, but there comes a point where, like, I have decided already that as much as I want to watch certain content on Friday, I will not be a subscriber to Apple TV. I am just not going to pay the $5 a month for that service because the content doesn't warrant it to me. And I will more than likely subscribe to HBO Max, but I will probably drop DC Universe because the content doesn't justify that service for me anymore. So it just, there's a certain point where they have to understand that people can't afford to pay for everything. And I think this is, I mean, I don't want to say underhanded, but I mean, I think it's pretty underhanded. I will say it by DC you know, Warner Brothers to make us have to pay for two separate services to get DC. And I understand HBO Max will have other content besides just DC, but they should not be developing these, these high profile live action DC shows for something that's not called DC Universe.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that, I think the way they're going right now, I think you're going to end up with all of your adult stuff is going to be on HBO Max. And then all of the comic, cartoon, and kid stuff is going to be on DC Universe. I really think the way, because they seem to be gearing everything towards kids on DC Universe. Obviously, Titans isn't right now, but once, I think all of those shows are moving over to Max.
And that's the thing too. If Titans lives on HBO Max in any form, even if it's after the season ends, if I can get HBO Max to give me Titans, I will never watch DC Universe again.
Right.
Because there's nothing left for me there. Yes, I might miss the Harley cartoon, but if I don't have it.
Well, that's an adult cartoon. That's going to go to Max.
Right.
If they go in that scenario. But.
Right. You know, Young Justice, I mean, I can live without it. It's not that great. So,
yeah.
I mean, I just, again, go back to what I've said it a million times. I don't know what DC Universe is doing to survive, especially when now their biggest competition is their own parent company. You know, it seems like it's going to try to push them out of business. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I just don't think it's played out yet. HBO Max isn't coming until May. We don't know, you know, it's going
to
be a while
actually,
before we know.
Not to interrupt you, but we don't even know that we're getting to season 3 of Titans yet. It hasn't been confirmed.
No.
So by May, Titans is over anyways on DC Universe. So, if there's no season 3 for that, then it's definitely a no-brainer for me. And really for most people, like what's left, you know,
well,
I mean, what's going to be left for anybody to subscribe to over there? After a year, I've watched all the old stuff I wanted to watch anyways.
Right.
So, I don't know. This is the news, not the editorial section, so we've gone.
Do I have to put the Vader sounder underneath this one?
I think you might. But like I said, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way that as much as I'm very excited for a Green Lantern, like I'm really excited for the stuff they have coming.
Yeah.
It seems like they announced all the best stuff for HBO Max and they're leaving their stepchild with nothing, but yet saying, but even though we have nothing, continue to pay $7 a month for us.
Doom Patrol's going to both.
Right. It'll be on both.
That's weird.
And I could imagine Titans probably going to both too.
Right.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't know what's left at DC Universe to really keep anybody subscribed there.
What about this idea?
I don't know why they don't just fold it. Like, it really makes no sense to me why they don't just fold this all in together. And
I don't know. Maybe for the comic fan that doesn't want all the other HBO stuff and pay the premium. Like, if all you want is the DC stuff, like, what if everything stayed on DC Universe but is also on HBO Max?
Well, that's the thing, too.
And that just on DC Universe, you don't get HBO.
Those shows don't appear to be going there, though.
Right.
Like, I could say that, and I'll just keep DC Universe, but then I'm going to miss out on Green Lantern and Adam Strange
right.
and, you know, all that stuff. It, honestly, Green Lantern is the thing that I'm more excited about than anything. So,
right.
You know.
No, I know. Me too. It's fun to watch it play out. And like I said before, I've said it many, many other times about other things, like we're gonna have so much content it's not like we're gonna be hurting, so
I'm already making decisions to stop, you know, of what I'm gonna stop anyways,
right?
Because again, as much as I think there's a few things on Apple TV that I may enjoy, number one, and it's not the $5, like I can afford the $5 a month, that's not the issue.
You're
it's
all
just
about
that,
the principle.
Well, it's just that I don't need that content that badly. I'm not missing out on anything.
Right.
there's already more good shows than I have time to watch anyways.
Right.
And, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere. You know, you just can't subscribe. At a certain point, you can't subscribe to every single streaming service that comes along because, you know, there's just everything's going to be a streaming service.
See, I've gone the other way. I used to have every single channel on, like, Dish.
Well,
and
me too.
I've
now I don't have
way
anything.
Back, and I pick right. up streaming services. So, you know, it's like dropping all my. I have zero movie channels on my Dish, but I'll pick up a streaming service. Which and a streaming service is usually cheaper than most of the movie channels per month.
Well, unless you're called HBO Max,
right? And I dropped that for a year until Game of Thrones came back. And I've had it since then.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything? Oh, well. Anything else you want to touch on?
I don't have any other news. I'm
all right.
sure you probably
well, we
have
got
a couple of things.
The only thing that we hadn't touched on as far as news is Hawkeye series. Looks like
I saw that.
Which one? There's two stories. I got both of them from MCU Direct.
Well, the first story, I guess,
was
that they're rethinking whether he's actually even going to be involved in it because of the allegations that were made against him.
I don't know,
but then
that's up in the air,
right? But then later in the week, they've come out and said that you know the series is going to be based on his origin story,
right?
More than anything, which is way different than what we thought that show.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting because we thought it was going to be the future.
Right. Him handing the torch off. Really.
Right. And now we find out it's an origin story.
Right.
I mean, I actually like that. I think it's pretty cool. But I don't know where does Kate Bishop come in?
Well, that and then I don't know how – I mean – there's no way to rethink his involvement if that's the case.
That's what I thought,
you know?
Too.
So that rethinking his involvement really just means the show exists or it doesn't, because you can't have an origin story of him and not have him in it.
Well, so, what if you went really young and you went like as a 13 or 14-year-old? That would be an origin story to, you know, he developed those skills as a 13, 14-year-old. You could completely write him out at that point.
Well, I guess at a certain point.
He's a good-looking guy, but he doesn't look 13.
No, but he'd have to get somewhere near adulthood to finish off the journey. You know, he didn't become Hawkeye at 13. So.
Right. And they.
So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what's going on with that as far as the first story where, you know, again, there's was some allegations made against him.
It was one of those. It's a he said, she said thing.
Right.
Actually,
of course,
he said.
Right, and of course, he's denying any of it, and who knows? Like I said,
it's just an ugly
guilty,
custody
like,
battle, and
right.
I think I've heard or read a few reports that it's like, you know, they're going to step away for a little bit, let this cool down, and I don't think they're going to make any rash decisions like they did with
James Gunn.
James Gunn, yeah.
But again, also, this is Disney, and it's the company that's, you know, promotes family values and family friendly, and I think they would rather live without the show at all than
that's what
be
I mean.
Associated.
They,
yeah.
They could just delay it.
Right.
So, who knows?
So, yeah. So, we'll see with that.
That's kind of not our wheelhouse. All right. Anything else?
No.
All righty. You ready to get into some comic books?
Sure.
All right, what am I spending my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we're going to look at this week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, issue number 99. There's a 1 in 10 variant on this that looks like it's selling for about $30, which, again, is pretty high, a pretty high ratio or a pretty high dollar amount for a 1 in 10 ratio book. Now this is a $7.99 cover price book to begin with, so it's not quite, you know, like I said, it's not quite a $3.99 book. So you would expect it to be a little bit higher than average, but three times the ratio is high on that. Again, probably a product of not a lot of supply and demand out there, because again, even though it's only a 1 in 10, Turtles don't sell like they used to. You know, this is a book that I only order for subscribers. I don't even order shelf copies of it because nobody ever buys it. So even stores ordering 10 copies is probably limited out there. So, but if you can find one, you know, for less than 30 bucks, it's probably a good deal. And then Venom, issue number 19. Those two covers to be aware of on this. The first is the 1 in 25, the Codex variant. We've been talking about the Codex variants ever since Absolute Carnage started, and these all seem to be going for over ratio. This one's selling for about $35. If you could pick one of those up, I would do so. And then the second one is the Mary Jane variant. This is Ji Hung Lee. And this is just a really great cover. The prices haven't really risen too much on this yet, but people are snapping them up. Like, I ordered a lot of these, way more than I normally order for variants, just because I had seen the picture earlier, yeah. And I knew that this was a cover that was going to sell. And, yeah, I was right. Like, I ordered 20-plus copies of this, and I only have a handful left after today. So, I would grab one, even if the price is, you know, not skyrocketing. It's just a good cover to have. And in the future, it may, yeah. You know, may pick up. And that's it as far as this week's speculator book. So fairly quiet.
Nice. Nice. All right. Let's get into back issue bonus then.
All right. So from last month's, we had Dead Man Logan issue number 11. This is the first appearance of Danny Cage as Thor. So yeah. I don't really know what that means. Long term, although, like, today, Dead Man Logan issue 12 came out, which is the last issue of that series, and there is rumors of a Wasteland Avengers series coming later on, spinning out of that, today's issue. So if that is the case, then this first appearance could actually hold up, in the long run. For anybody that read it, Danny Cage is Luke Cage's, granddaughter, I believe, and of course she was able to wield the hammer and turn into Thor. So selling for about $13 right now. I've seen him as high as $20 recently, so again, maybe one long term to pick up. Spider-Man Unlimited issue number 8 from 2004. So this is the first comic book that Joe Hill ever worked on. And Joe Hill's getting a big push from DC right now.
Yep.
He had his Hill House label started off today with Basket Full of Heads. So this book that, again, used to be a dollar book is selling for about $20 right now. And then there was a copy that got bid up to $56 on eBay, which
wow.
is a little insane.
Yeah.
But, again, this is a dollar book. There's a million copies of them out there. But it has some demand right now. Now, how long that's going to stay, I don't know. It depends on, you know, I guess what happens with Joe Hill and this.
Well, that guy that paid 56, he got his. So there goes the demand.
Right, he got his. Right. But like I said, it depends on how popular this label ends up being. But Joe Hill's a popular writer anyways. You know, he did Lock and Key for IDW, which was a very popular series. And that's also been optioned, I think, for TV. So this should keep some demand. You know, long term, I think. And then last week we talked about the 1 in 10 variant from Marvel Action Spider-Man, which was going for about $50, which is crazy for a 1 in 10 variant. This week it's selling for $150. So if $50 was crazy, jeez. This is three times crazy. Honestly, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, we talked last week about all the reasons why it was $50. I can't think of any reason why it should be $150. It's just ridiculous. So good. Kudos to you if you were able to pick one up last week for anything under $50. You're doing well. I had a customer that came in today and showed me his receipt from a store where he bought one last week for $3.49. He actually even got his 10% discount on it.
Oh, wow.
So he was a pretty happy dude. Just going to show that not every store listens to our show and pays attention to what we talk about.
We need evidence of that because I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I was surprised because I thought everybody was listening.
I thought everybody listened.
Apparently they're not. And then last but not least, we have Rye issue number 0. This is from 1990-something. I don't have it written down, but this is, you know, the first series for Rye. But this is the first appearance of Bloodshot. You know, again, we talked about Bloodshot a week or two ago, you know, with the movie trailer hitting. You know, there's a lot of interest around that character. I guess there's two different types of covers for this. There's a matte cover that's selling for about $30, and then there's glossy print covers that are selling for about $80. So, and again, I don't see that going down at all anytime in the near future, unless the movie is just terrible, which, you know, we won't know until we get it. But
yeah, I wouldn't recommend waiting till after a Vin Diesel movie comes out.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything, but but it is Vin Diesel, so. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into final order cutoff for Monday. What do we got?
All right. So for DC variant covers, we have Detective Comics number 1016. This is Kerry Andrews. We have Flash number 83, Guillaume March. And Joker Harley Criminal Sanity number 2, Miko Swayan? Soyan? I don't know. And no new series from DC.
I got to get in and reserve my copy of that because my wife is really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
She's already asked me twice, when does this next one come out? I was like, seriously?
Well, it comes out in a few weeks.
Yep.
And that's a good cover. So, and then IDW, we have Rising Sun, issue number 1. This is going to be a 3-issue miniseries. Looks like there's only one cover for it. And then Marvel, we have variant covers, Black Cat issue number 7. This is the Venom Island variant by Otto Schmidt. Daredevil number 14, Scon 2020 variant. That always reminds me, it sounds like a Star Trek character.
Well, yeah. But I was going to say the same thing. I'm like, just one name?
Yeah, Scon.
Is it a guy or a girl?
I'm assuming a guy, but I don't know for sure.
It's like Madonna, Cher.
Yeah. Prince. So, yeah. and then Marauders number 3, Ji Hyung Lee. My pick for cover of the week. That is just awesome. I really like that cover a lot.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. It should be the first image that comes up on the Facebook post.
You're usually spot on with those. Oh, I've seen it then. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right, and then new series from Marvel. There's several. Actually, a few of these are one-shots. Annihilation Scourge, Fantastic Four, number 1. And Annihilation Scourge Nova, number 1. Both of those have 2 covers.
And here we go with the multiples.
Yeah, and then there's a section, there's 3 different one-shots, Conan, Ghost Rider, and Punisher, $20.99. They all have multiple covers. Again, all part of the $20.99 event that's starting for Marvel. Then we have Conan Serpent War. This is number 1 of 4, and there's multiple covers. And then Scream Curse of Carnage. This is number 1 of her ongoing series. And there's multiple covers for that. And then last but not least from Valiant, we have Rye number 1. And there's multiple covers there. And that's it as far as FOC.
All right. You ready to get into the book club?
I am ready to get into book club.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this first one together because I read it as well.
Okay.
So why don't you start it off?
All right, so the first one is Basket Full of Heads. This is issue number 1 of a 7-issue miniseries. Again, this is part of DC's Black Label Hill House line by Joe Hill. And this is the book that was actually written by him, and it had art by Leomax. Again, one like Scon and Prince, I guess.
Yeah, Leo. Yeah, I wasn't Leo looking Max. At it. I was looking at the book. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, it is Leo Max. One word.
Leo Max. Yeah, one word. So yeah, this book. You know, we got a preview of this, like I said, a couple of weeks ago with the Joe Hill sampler, and we got the first, I don't know, 4 pages or so of this book, and I was really intrigued after reading it, and you know, was looking forward to reading this book. So, you know, obviously this is, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, and, you know, I guess he can't really tell. Yeah. I was going to say, I guess he has the same fondness for Maine and, yeah, New England that his dad has. This really gave me a Jaws feel. Like, I really felt like this was taking place in
Amity.
Oh, no, I can't think of Amity, right.
Amity, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, this is set in the summertime on the beach. Really kind of end of summer. You know, our main character had been working over the summer as a deputy or a, I guess really just a ticket writer.
Yeah, yeah.
For the police department there. But, I don't know how do you want to describe that, this book, I guess?
Well, for the horror that it's supposed to be.
Wasn't much.
No, it's like, I think the horror comes next.
Yeah, this was a
lot of
this is
like an introduction to all the characters.
Right, this is the first half hour of a horror movie.
Right.
Where everybody's having fun and you're getting to know everybody.
Right, and I think, like, to put it this in, like, Jaws is a great, great example, like, because if you were to put, like, a score to this, there would have been scenes in this book where you would have been anticipating something happening. And right. Then nothing does. You know what I mean? So
it, right.
Where you're just reading it, you're kind of like, all right, what's going to happen? And nothing really takes place. But I think it's building the anticipation. I liked the book. Did you like it?
I don't know. I liked it a lot. Yeah. Okay. No, I really did like it. I liked the characters. I liked the book. You know, you get the setup right in the very beginning. You know, you kind of see the guy with the basket full of heads, but then you never go back to it. In this book.
Yeah.
You know, it's just foreshadowing what you're going to see. And I think there's a lot more to come with this. But yeah, to your point, this is just the setup. This is where we meet the characters and, we don't really get to see a whole lot.
And you said this is, one of seven.
Seven issues.
So
yeah.
We have six to go. I really think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, this is going to be good.
I think so too.
Especially you have six more to go, and they did a good job of bringing you into the characters. I was disappointed when the book ended. Like, come on, nothing happened.
Yeah, like I said, you get to meet basically the main character and his girlfriend, and you know, the boss, which is like the police chief, and his wife, and
right.
Yeah, like I said, it seems like it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be good. I liked it quite a bit. The art was a little quirky, but I liked it. And like I said, the writing is, you know, again, he's Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, so he's got a little bit of an affinity for writing, I guess.
Yeah. I think the book picks up at the end, and I got a little bit of that feel, like when we were kids and you were watching TV and you knew the show was about to end. And they couldn't wrap up in time, and it was going to be and you were disappointed.
Right, you knew it was going to be a two-parter.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they're never going to wrap this up. And by the time you're getting to the end of this book, you're like, there's no way, we're not getting, oh, there it is. And you're like, I can't wait for the next book. They do end on a pretty good, I wouldn't say a cliffhanger, but
it's enough of a tease to bring you back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to bring you back next month or next 2 weeks or whenever it's actually going to be.
Some pretty intriguing characters, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, overall, I recommend it. I think, I would definitely recommend picking it up. I think it's going to be good.
How is it for, how is it selling? Do you have any idea?
It did, I mean, for me, it did fine. You know, I sold probably half my copies today. It wasn't, like, it didn't jump off the shelf, but
okay.
I had enough people came in and looked for it, and we were interested in it. So,
because I feel like with our description of it, it feels like almost like maybe you wait and get one and two together. But if you, I don't know if you'd want to do that and wait because you might not be able to get one in time. Like they might be out.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's always a possibility. I mean you never know, but you know, the retailer in me wants to say, don't do that. We want to sell.
No, like, no. I know.
I don't want stores
you
to have
get
to
rid
sit
of
on,
them. Yeah,
sit on copies of number one. Also because it, you know, the other part of it is, like, if, you know, if people decide they're going to wait for number two before they buy number one, then they might have trouble finding number twos, because if half my number ones didn't sell, I'm ordering a lot less number twos.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Right.
I would say just go out and get it. And you know, like I said, pick them up as we go. So.
Okay. All right. What do you want to do your next one?
Sure. So the second one I have is Wolvenheart, issue number one. This is from Mad Cave Studios. This was written by Mark London, and it had art by Alejandro Giraldo. So this book started out, the first couple of pages felt very familiar. Like, this is basically like Van Helsing, if you've seen the movie or watched the TV show. You know, you have a guy that's he's a monster hunter. And the book starts out with him tangling with a werewolf. But it gets interesting from there. Basically, after you know, the battle with the werewolf, he gets called to his next assignment. But that's when you realize that his next assignment isn't just, like, in the next town. It's, like, in another time. And you find out that they're time-traveling, monster hunters. So you come to find out that this is an organization called Wolvenheart, and it was started by Van Helsing. And somehow they've ascended to where they're able to travel through time and intercept all these monster happenings in different time periods. And then you kind of find out that the monsters also have maybe like an organized agenda that they're trying to influence time at certain important periods. And, you know, the Wolvenheart organization is trying to, you know, obviously preserve the timeline. So, like, that's where it got interesting to me, because I thought at first that this might just be fine, but it wasn't going to be anything new or different than any story that we really ever read before.
Yeah.
But when you introduce that time travel element to it, it becomes very interesting, because even some of the things you see in this first issue, where they're going to have to go to certain periods in time and, you know, interact with history, there's some interesting things happening. So I actually really like this quite a bit, more than I thought.
Cool.
I was going to. Yeah, in the beginning, like I said, the first few pages I wasn't sure, but when you get that twist, and I, you know, I hate to have maybe spoiled that, but you can read it right in the synopsis. It tells you that they're a time-traveling organization. So,
yeah.
But that's where it got interesting to me. And I think, you know, it's going to have some implications that are pretty cool going forward. This is also just a 7-issue miniseries, so, you know, the story is finite, but I think it's worthwhile. Again, Mad Cave might not be on the shelf in every store, but if you could pick up a copy, I definitely would recommend it. I think the art was really good, and I liked the story. So, like I said, I think it's worth picking up.
All right. Mine first one, well, second one, I guess, because I did Basketful of Heads.
Yeah.
Roku from Valiant, written by Cullen Bunn, art by Raymond Box, cover art by Dave Johnson. Did you see this one? Did you read it?
I didn't read it, no.
Okay. I really liked this book after I got through it. The first third of it, I felt like the story was like a Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff take.
Okay.
And then it really picked up, and it's she has powers and pretty ruthless.
Okay.
I really liked the art. That's why I was wondering if you had seen it. I thought the art was really fun. It was so bold, colorful. I just really enjoyed flipping through the book. I don't know if it was because it was a fun read, like we said last week, talking about TJ and stuff. And that's like,
right. This
was just a fun read. It was a quick read. And I liked where the story was going by the end of it. It, like I said, the first third of it, you're really going to feel like you're reading about, you know, Natasha Romanoff and be like, and then it her mission goes, I wouldn't say sideways, but in a direction you didn't see coming necessarily. And it just really wraps up. It's almost like an origin type thing where you're just learning about the characters. And right. it's only one of four. So it's you know, a short run. Definitely going to continue with this one. I really liked it. And like I said, I can't get enough of the artwork. I'm flipping through it right now. And it's just, I just thought it was so bold and just fun to read.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So, and the last one I wanted to talk about was Deceased. Did you get to read number 6?
I did.
And I just wanted to talk about like 1 through 6, and because it's wrapped up now and obviously yeah. spoiler free. But I just thought that we should put this in with our book club and make it a recommended reading. I actually started adding, if we like them, I put the backpack next to it.
Oh, okay.
But Deceased 1 through 6, I love this. And, did you like the way it wrapped up?
I did. It was quite a ride.
Yeah.
You know, obviously spoiler free, but I mean, this is definitely not part of the canon of the DC universe.
Thank God.
Although I kept waiting to see that it, maybe it was canon on like
another Earth or something.
Yeah, one of the different multiverses or something.
Yeah,
because it does kind of at the end, not a mild spoiler, but it's like they end up on Earth 2. Which is where I thought we were. Like, I thought Earth 2 was where the main DC universe took place. But I could be wrong, because there's been so many changes, maybe I don't know anymore. But
yeah,
it almost seemed to me like this was like Battlestar Galactica. Like, this is the story that came before. And
right.
then they ended up on Earth 2 and started over again. But I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But yeah, overall, this was a lot of fun. I think the art was great throughout the
yep.
whole series. The writing was good. Like I said, it was a lot of fun. So
yeah, it was a fun break from the normal
yeah.
reading that you're doing. And I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. So I thought it'd be worth mentioning.
Yeah.
What about, oh, what was it? Excalibur this week?
Yeah.
Did you read it?
I did read that. So I didn't like it as much as Marauders or X-Men. Like, I think so far, this is the worst of the bunch.
I thought it had a lot of white pages. but more than the others.
speaking of, Jonathan Hickman put out a tweet this week earlier. I don't know if you saw it, but the official name is Data Pages.
They're really?
They're not called white pages.
Well, then he should have colored them something else.
Yeah. But they're actually called data pages.
Is he tired of people calling them white pages?
I don't know. Well, I think only me and you. I think we're the only ones that ever did
I've
that.
Had other people say it to me.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's because they listen to us.
That's so true.
Yeah. But I think we coined that phrase because
the only two other people I talked to. Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Wright. I don't think there was an official name for him, but yeah, the data pages. And again, I'm not saying that to say this was a bad book necessarily, but I just feel like this was the weakest so far
right.
out of the bunch that we've got. I didn't like it quite as much as Marauders, and definitely not as much as X-Men. I still think it was fun, but like I said, I don't know about you, but this might be one of the ones that I don't go all the way with. You know, I might not continue this one indefinitely. I'll definitely give it at least one more issue.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that this one is going to be one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm not as invested in the characters, and
right.
the book didn't grab me with the cat. You know what I mean? It's not like I was.
Right.
Although I got to admit, I was a little bit more grabbed by a couple of them by the end, but not enough to be like, I can't wait for this. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I actually felt that way about Roku. It's like I can't wait for that one. But,
well, I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Captain Britain. Like, I've always liked that
yeah.
character. So I was a little bit more, like, I was more invested in the characters in this book than I was necessarily in Marauders. Because other than Kitty, most of the characters in Marauders are really not my favorite X-Men at all. So in this one, between Captain Britain and Psylocke, I actually like those characters more.
Yeah.
I just didn't think, like, the thing about Marauders that made it more interesting was that it had such a bigger impact on the world than this one does. Like, this one
yeah.
felt more compact inside of itself. Like it was, you know, not going to have a bigger, you know, like I said, it's not going to have that bigger impact on the world like Marauders is going to. And, you know, again, maybe the other ones don't either.
Right.
You know, we haven't seen, you know, next week we get two, which is good because we get New Mutants and we get, X-Force next week. So
yeah.
We're going to have two different books next week to check out. And I guess that only leaves what Fallen Angels after that. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll have to see, but
the one thing I'll say about this book and this entire run, I wanted to ask you about, I know you don't have a lot of time, so we can't really do any, you know.
No, yeah, I mean, I got a few minutes.
No, I know. I was just going to say do any, like, you know, Kryptonite Key Club tonight. But,
oh, okay.
But no, this isn't really spoiler, but the feel and I noticed it in this book, and it's probably because of Apocalypse is in this book.
Right.
Are you getting the feel that the X-Men are becoming more villain as a group? Like, because the way I'm feeling, like, when as I'm reading this book and all of these books, and it dawned on me reading this one that they've really separated themselves from the world, whereas the X-Men that we knew prior to House and Powers, they worked in conjunction with the rest of the Marvel Universe. And here I feel like they're separating themselves from the rest of the Marvel Universe.
I don't know that I view them as becoming more villains. I do view them definitely as, we're done putting up with your crap. And, you know, they're definitely more militant than they've really been in the past.
And that's what I mean.
They're definitely willing to defend their nation state and kind of be at odds with the, you know, humans, to much more of a degree than they ever had been in the past. So I think that's where they're a little different, but I wouldn't categorize them as necessarily villainous because I don't think they have, overall, they have plots where they're going to be out there trying to sow like evil
plans,
or anything
right.
like that.
But they've really separated themselves.
But right, yeah, they definitely, like I said, it feels like they're not gonna, they'll be very quick to defend themselves and they're not going to, basically put up with our crap anymore.
Right. And they started it with in the first couple of the first House book where they separated themselves from, you know, Fantastic Four. And it's like all of those team ups that we had when we were kids, it seems like they're gone. Like one of my favorite parts was when Spider-Man worked with them. Peter Parker, and they, you know, they kept his identity, or Xavier did.
I feel like there'll be plenty of events going forward where the common good will compel them to work with the rest of the teams. You know,
I hope they get to one soon so we can get that feel back.
Well, we're probably going to get either Annihilation is probably going to be an event that's going to pull everybody together. I don't know if the 2099 event will do that because that seems to be more centered around like the Spider-Man universe.
Yeah.
But I think Annihilation being like a Marvel-wide event will be something that will pull. But you know, something like Galactic, like somebody's going to come to town and want to cause some damage and it's going to require everybody, I think, to come, come in and defend. So, I don't think we're done with all of that, but I definitely see them being a lot more at odds with the other heroes than they've ever been in the past. But like I said, I think that's a good thing. I know we love all the team ups and all that, but I think this is going to make interesting reads for us, you know, going forward with X-Men and all of that. But you know, they're definitely going to have to interact. Like all these titles going forward, they can't just all take place mutant versus mutant on Krakoa. Like they're going to have to interact with the rest of the world, you know, going forward. So I think we will see a lot more of that still. But like I said, yeah, you're right as far as there being a different feel for the way these books are, you know.
Yeah.
So far anyways. Again, we're not even through all the number ones yet. But
no, but what I thought, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I actually think it's a good thing that he is, and it just dawned on me today reading Excalibur that I'm like, wow, I feel differently towards these characters. It's like he's created a completely different universe and flip-flopped. Like, you're really looking at them in a new light, and that's good. That's fun, right. You know, and it's actually in my experience, this is the first time this has happened. I've never read a character and then had that character just been flip-flopped. And this isn't just one character. This is
right. It's
a bunch
basically
of them.
The whole right. It's all of them.
You know,
I do want to say, going back to this book though, it had more humor than most of the other ones I've had so far.
Yeah, it did.
Like, I really liked Apocalypse in this book a lot.
I'm waiting because when we get the pronunciation.
Well, right, he has the print symbol for his name now, basically.
And I'm like, I was trying to put it together. It's not really a spoiler. It's
right,
because you can't say it.
No, you can't say it. But it was just funny, like, that every single person that he met called him Apocalypse, and he says, please call me this or this or this, or refer to me as this, this, and this.
As this, and it was a symbol, and you don't
right,
know how
it's
to
like
say
a symbol.
It. But in the real life, it's a word, and the first person he said it to was like, I don't think I can say that.
Right. But then when he sees Betsy later on, she refers to him back as that, which was great.
Right.
But I just thought it was funny, because it was kind of like, he was like a child, you know, and he's Apocalypse. But it was like, no, call me. It was like earlier in Marauders where Kitty kept saying, call me Kate. It was kind
of
like,
well,
the
because
same
of
thing.
The revolution, everything they've changed. That's what he mentions that at the beginning of the book. He goes, there's no better time to change your name. It's like when you get married type thing, like the one time you could. And that's when he's taking this opportunity.
Well, because you wonder if his name was ever Apocalypse to begin with, or if that's just what everybody called him.
Right.
Like, because all the people that were fighting against him might have just been calling him Apocalypse.
Yeah, he's the Apocalypse. And
right. And maybe his name was that all along, and he just now has decided to share it with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so. I just thought it was cool.
Yeah. It's funny. The more we talk about it, the more I'm liking the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, any other books?
I mean, I read
a ton. I only a couple other things. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I read a bunch of books this week. I read the Batman Annual,
I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, it was mediocre, honestly, as far as Batman stories go. The Aquaman Annual I read, which was actually better. I thought that was a pretty good story. I read Harleen, number 2. Fantastic.
I haven't read that one yet.
Oh,
I'll
man.
Read that before we record the net. We'll talk about that before we do the,
I mean, the art Mondays. Continues to be gorgeous in that book.
Yeah, like,
the art is so good.
I have it sitting here right
that
with
is
me.
A really great story. Like, this issue I thought was excellent.
Better than the first? Because the first was
I think
knock
so.
Your socks
yeah, the
off.
First, the first one was really good, but this one, you know, again, spoiler free, but like, this is the descent,
please.
Right? This is her.
Okay.
This is her basically interacting with the Joker. And we all know she turns into Harley Quinn. So, but
she
this
does?
Is like, this is the therapy sessions. Like, this is all the inner workings of the Joker and her. And I think it was awesome. Like, even to the point where.
Well, let's talk about it on Monday.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to give anything away. But
even to
the point where the writer,
how did I
forget you know, I'm
that?
Wondering now, does he have any, like, psychology background or.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he must have something because. Some of the subtle things that were put into this to basically, you know, show how he was manipulating her were really well written and well thought out. And you would think that it's somebody that has some schooling in psychology. Or at least talk to somebody that has some schooling in psychology.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I won't say anything else about it. But actually, that's my pick. That's my read of the week, actually. It was great. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
So.
Cool. All right, quick discussion then on that picture you sent me today, that news clipping.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It was. I thought it was interesting. Let
me give it.
It popped in one of my Facebook groups the other day, and I was reading it, and I was like, yeah, that's definitely intriguing. Because I don't think I'd ever – yeah, go ahead. I just say I don't think I'd ever read
that
before.
Yeah, I have – well, that's what's – let me give it a quick read, and then we'll talk about it for anybody that didn't see it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So – this is a newspaper clipping from, it looks like, 1982, probably.
It's, yeah, somewhere right around there.
So it starts, it says, excuse me, director Richard Markan's Revenge of the Jedi will be coming to theaters nationwide in May of 1983, concluding the trilogy of the rebel fight against the Empire. The fourth film for May of 1986 will jump backwards in time, detailing the rise of the Empire. The fifth and sixth films for 1989 and 1992 will wrap up that storyline, after which 1995's entry will pick up where Revenge of the Jedi left off. That Star Wars saga will conclude with films in 99 and 2002. Grand Scenarist... I had to read that twice. I didn't even know that was a word.
I don't think it is.
Grand Scenarist Lucas assures us that the only characters which will be featured in all nine films are the two robots. A quarter century of Star Wars films. By that time, no doubt we really will be warring in space. That's a funny line.
Yeah.
If we aren't, then we surely will be enjoying, in some form or another, dozens of Star Wars video games, which Parker Brothers will have released. That's the end of it. So this is written in, obviously, like 1982. They thought we would literally be at war in space.
By 2002.
But here we are. But this is the stuff that you and I have been talking about, saying, like, I remember reading, I remember hearing, and we knew these stories going back to, like, 1980, 82, whatever. And to see this written up like this is really cool, especially with the Revenge of the Jedi in there.
Right. Well, what I thought was interesting about it, too, was that with the exception of the timeline, that is exactly what we got.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything he wanted us to have is what we got. Because, again, if I'm not mistaken, he's right about the true droids being the only characters in all nine movies. And it really was what he wanted. It just didn't happen. Like, something happened in 1984 to derail this plan.
Right.
Whether, you know, the prevailing theory was that, you know, he wasn't, you know, the technology didn't exist for him to be able to tell the story the way he wanted to tell it. But I don't know if that's 100% the reason, because I feel like, I mean, in 1977, the technology didn't exist for him to tell Star Wars, and he invented it.
Right.
So, like, if he wanted those movies to happen, I think there was more to it than that. Like, something derailed this plan, and, you know, we'll probably never know exactly what it was.
Well, I told you, I remember hearing the version that he got a divorce, and I don't know what that was, but I heard that part, and I heard that that may have derailed it for whatever reason.
Right.
So who knows? But you're right. It's the exact scenario that we wanted, that we got. The droids part, it's funny because I did Star Wars. I recorded the podcast for the Brightside Home Theater, and I was listening to some of the audio commentary, and he talks about the droids a lot, and that he wanted to tell a story but from the simple character's perspective, and how he opened Star Wars with the droids, you know, in the hallway there. But yeah, he mentions that a lot throughout his, not just in that, what I listened to, but throughout everything, he's always been fascinated with telling the story through the droids.
Right.
And that they would be the only ones that were in every single movie. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then the other part, you know, that really didn't come true is that we only got two games from Parker Brothers. We didn't get dozens.
Oh, did you look that up? I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I remember. I played them. But,
oh, okay. Video games?
Yeah, back on the Atari 2600.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, there was only two of those. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, not dozens.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that and the Grand Scenarist. Didn't know.
Yeah,
that was.
I don't understand what that is.
Yeah. So, all right, the last thing I have is we gave away two posters already. Did you see that?
Yes, yep. I did.
So the first review we got, 5-star review from that guy, TJ. I don't know who that could be.
Some guy, TJ. I don't know.
That guy, TJ. Said, the title, Great Movie and Comic Pod, 5 stars. And it says, John and DJ are the best. I love these.
Me too. You can stop there.
Exactly. Love their movie reviews. I just started reading comics because of these guys, because I wanted to be involved in the book club segment. Their reviews are honest, thoughtful, funny, and dare I say, bright. I'm always listening to figure out what books to pick up next. Thanks to these guys, I found a new love for superheroes, superhero stories outside of the movie world. Thanks, Brightside Chat. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Thanks.
I mean, that's all we want out of that show.
TJ.
I mean, that's what we, like, that's what our whole show is about.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
if it translates, that means we're doing what we wanted to do, which is
right. It's one of those things, like, if you've just helped one person, we've done our job, so.
Right. I told you, we're converting readers one at a time. We're bringing them kicking and screaming into comics, so.
Well, he's not kicking and screaming. Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time. Wait till he starts having to buy all these events.
Yeah. Yeah, he's too new to be kicking and screaming. Yeah. Okay, so the next one is from MFAHER01.
Yeah.
So, very creative. I like that. Yeah. So, a top-notch podcast, 5 stars. John and DJ, a.k.a. Nudie and Pretzel, are perfect. I read this one to my wife, and she's like, who's Pretzel?
What? Yeah, what are you talking about?
But funny thing is,
she knew who Nudie was.
She knew you were Nudie.
Yeah. Well, then by default, she should have known you were
Pretzel.
Well,
she's like, but she didn't understand where it came from.
Maybe we had a mascot or something.
Yeah, no, she didn't understand where it came from, so I had to tell her because I'm almost twisting myself into a pretzel trying to make things sound good. So anyways, so John and DJ, a.k.a. Nudie Pretzel, are a perfect balance of bright side and dark side when discussing comics, movies, and television. Each week brings 2 tremendous issues. That's true. Each providing different content that's both informative and entertaining. Definitely give these guys a listen. Yeah. So thanks, MFR01. That was awesome. Those are great.
Yep.
So that's 2 down. That means we have 3 posters to go. So get your reviews in and we will send off a poster.
Yep.
3 more. So
3 more.
Yep. All right. That it?
I think so.
That good for this week?
Yeah.
And we are doing, what's the 3rd Harry Potter? We're doing Harry Potter and what?
Chamber of Secrets?
This is an audio podcast.
I'm thinking. I don't know.
You froze.
No, I wasn't frozen. Face. I was thinking. I was like, no.
Dead air.
Chamber of Secrets is the one we just did.
Yeah.
That was the last one we did.
Oh,
I don't know. We'll figure it out before Monday.
We're doing the 3rd Harry Potter on Monday.
Yeah. Harry Potter 3.
Harry Potter, take 3.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're going to have a bunch of people, you know, messaging us, telling us what.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't be blamed. So yeah. It's not a bad thing. It's not like I'm saying I'm a number one, like I'm a pothead, number one fan or something. Like, I'm just getting into this.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day long.
Yeah. Well, either way, I'll be watching it tomorrow, and we'll be talking about it on Monday.
So. Nice. All right. This will get you in bed in time tonight. This
I think
a nice,
so.
Timely podcast.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. All right. So that'll do it for this week. Everybody have a great and safe Halloween tonight. Or hopefully you had one if you're listening to this after Halloween.
Right.
But all right. Hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. Actually, it's @brightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, blah, blah, blah. And we are on the Nerdy Legion. Please go to nerdylegion.com and you can subscribe there. You find plenty of podcasts, including my new one that's actually coming out dropping Friday again. I'll be doing Star Wars. That one's shaping up. It's tough starting again. It is.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not. You get those jitters again. It's going to be rough for a little bit. It's not as polished as you and I, John. You know.
Well,
I mean,
you know.
It's not. I don't have a partner.
I bring the
like
polish.
You to work
so
with.
Yeah, you don't have me to bounce off of. So
yeah, it's a lot of dead air.
Yeah.
I ask questions and nobody answers.
Nobody answers.
So yeah. So tune in. Tune in. Tune into the Dead Air.
I mean, after selling it like that, who can resist?
Yeah, the Dead Air podcast. Yeah. Oh, I've already got bad nicknames. I haven't even really started yet. All right. We will see you on Monday. Have a good week. Have a safe Halloween.
Yep. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.